Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
It's time for another edition of the Brett Allen Show.
It's go time, you and me.
Join us weekly for the latest pop culture interviews from your favorite TV shows, movies, comedians, and so much more.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, it felt good.
Plus, you never know who will drop by.
What happened here was a miracle.
Now, here is your host.
I said throw down, boy.
Welcome to the nice main event.
Brett Allen.
Killing already.
Yeah, he's already on fire, folks. He's just warming up, coming to the stage today. He's played at all colleges and universities and bars around the country.
Not lately. Man, I'm right in the middle of your probably nice intro. I had submitted to a bunch of colleges the last 2 years, and I think I've aged out of it a little bit.
Funny.
It's a bummer because I enjoy it. I have nothing bad to say about any Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld, whatever, but all the older comedians who complain about colleges, I always love doing colleges. Sorry,
yeah,
I'm gonna let you do your intro.
So people know who we're talking to. Adam Newman, a comedian. He has a special coming out, Jew versus the Volcano, on Blonde Medicine on the 22nd. And this is a lot of fun. I'm excited. You've done all the things. So I want to ask you about, let's just talk about that. You know, you apply.
Sure.
There's a name of that. They do it every year. What's it called? Where you submit?
NACA.
NACA. Okay.
You know what? I'm blanking on what that actually stands for. I'm going to
National Associations of Call. That's where I saw Carrot Top for the first time, like 20 some years ago.
Wow.
And I was part of that group that went to that event where we watched comedians, and at that time I think his fee was like $1,500, you know.
Yeah,
20 odd some years ago. But a lot of comedians like to do those circuits because they pay really well and it's kind of a guaranteed audience at the same time. But yeah, I mean, you've got a lot going on. You have this album. How does it feel to have the album coming out soon for people to listen to? It's double vinyl too, by the way.
Dude, I'm so pumped, especially that it's double vinyl. I'm a vinyl nerd. So I just always get so excited when I get to put something out on vinyl. But this one, you know, I don't know if I played in bands before I did comedy, and I never really had this with the music as much as with the comedy. But the longer I go without putting out a new hour of comedy, I start hating the last hour. And it's been this because of the pandemic and everything else. It's been six years since I put out an hour of comedy. So I just, the longer it goes, the more I feel less attached, less connected to the old stuff. So, and this one we recorded a year ago. So I'm just ready to get this one out. I think it's my best hour, and I'm excited to finally.
Yeah. I mean, you have a lot of good stuff. So are you one to release an album and then retire those jokes and that's it? Okay, so this is it.
I am, except, and that goes for stand up. So what's exciting for me for this special is I was never a guitar comedian. I've done some bits every now and again with the guitar, but I was never like a get on stage and do stand up and have a guitar and do some songs and stuff. And so this is with the pandemic and being bored and not touring, I wrote some songs at home and I started doing them, and they're going to be out on this special. That is one thing I think I will probably not retire. I have a feeling I'll still throw an old song. There's something about playing a song just because it went on the album. It doesn't make me not want to do it anymore. So, you know, obviously going to try to work on a whole new hour, and that's what I'm going out for on this next trip. But having a few songs that are still fun to do that are old, I'm excited about.
Yeah, well, I would imagine too with the musical aspect, it's probably different, like you said, because it's music. So, you know, obviously you got a Bo Burnham type that does that as that's just what they do.
I was his opener for years.
Yeah. So is there a little bit of that influence in your life too because of that?
You know what I got mostly influenced by from Bo Burnham was I knew who he was before I started opening for him. I was like, you know what? Musical comedy guy, got big on YouTube. I've seen some of his stuff. He seems clever and funny and whatever. And then seeing his show every night, I was like, this guy's like, I mean, I just, you know, anyone who's seen him now knows, but I was like, this guy's, especially being a little bit older and him being like a young guy who got up on YouTube. I was like, man, you know, I'm sure he's fine, but whatever. But I then after seeing him live and how he put a show together, I was like, this guy's a genius. And so seeing him do what I guess what I got mostly out of him is from being a stand up who feels like there's no rules. And then realizing every night me and most of my stand up friends are still just getting up and doing different versions, you know, doing our own versions of talking into a microphone. I saw him doing songs, lights, cues, theatrical stuff. I'm like, this guy, this guy's really got, so whether you're a fan of what he specifically does or not, I'm like, this guy's really going up there and just saying you can do whatever. And so you know, a combination of seeing that every night with the famous Steve Martin quote, or you know, a famous Steve Martin thing that I think Johnny Carson told him, which is that you'll use everything, whether it's, you know, your magic or your comedy or whatever. I think having all that downtime over the pandemic really got me thinking about that stuff and wanting to bring more to the show than just, you know, I think I have funny stories and funny jokes and all that, but I also love playing guitar. I think I'm a pretty decent guitar player, and I had some, there's like a funny, stupid magic trick on this one. I don't know. I learned a little bit of magic. I know how to play music. I'm sure I just think as I keep going, I'll want to throw more stuff. Sorry, man. My Adderall like just hit and I feel myself.
You're fine. Talking, like, you're totally fine.
Prescribed, but, it all the thoughts are coming at the same time, but, yes,
I have a 9-year-old with ADHD. So trust me, you're in good company. I think that's cool. So it's, I don't want to go too far back in the pandemic COVID times, but it sounds like from what you just said, it was a very productive time for you. Yes. That's safe to say. Okay.
Yeah. I think if you didn't come out of the 2 years of staying at home without learning or trying one new thing, you know, maybe a bit of wasted time. I mean, even if you know, just
it's funny. I'm not here to name drop, but we interviewed Lunell, the comedian. And said something, you know, very interesting. Like, if you don't come out of this without a new hour, new jokes, then you are a hack, basically. And I say that because she said it. I don't pass judgment on anybody. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of like it was a time I learned video editing. I learned YouTubing. Like, so I feel like it was an opportunity where we all had a chance and some people became ultra famous for it because of that. Besides Bo, who are some of your influences comedically?
Oh, man. Well, I mentioned Steve Martin there, and I would say Steve Martin is one of my all-time favorites. Norm Macdonald is my number one favorite comedian
for
all
sure.
time. Absolutely. George Carlin was the guy that my mom gave me her record collection when I was a little, like literally like first grade play school record player. I had her George Carlin records. But like last few years, even actually this one might even be like 2014, 2017, like Chelsea Peretti's Hour special is one of my favorites I've seen.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Ever. Geez. I mean, I don't even know where to sit. Literally, I watch. I'm trying to think of the specials that have come out the last few years that have blown me away. Oh, Jesus. Jacqueline Novak's that just came out earlier this year is my favorite comedy special I've probably seen in 10 years. I love Gary Gulman. I love Mike Birbiglia. I love, I mean, all the and I'm also just blown away by the dudes I started with. I never even see, I'll shoot them a text every couple of years, I feel like. But the dudes I started with in New York, like Sam Morril and Joe List and stuff, every time, I don't even, I like I said, I don't want to, I'm not name dropping like I used to, I barely talk to those guys anymore, but, every time they put out a special, whether it's YouTube or Netflix or what, I love those guys. And seeing people you started with being that good and prolific, and at that, oh man, I think Dave Attell's special comes out in the next couple of weeks. One of my favorite, when I did my first album, I was just listening to Skanks for the Memories just over and over and over, like, man, I hope I get that energy. And, I didn't even come close, but yeah, anyway, all over the place. I like a lot of
I think that's great. And I think a lot of that comes out in your bits and just hearing you and that sort of thing. I mean, you're very funny. I want to ask, have you spent much time in Colorado? Have you been to the Fort Comedy Works? Okay.
Yeah. Well, nothing to do with that other than it gives me an excuse to go there more is my brother lives in Denver. And so it's always just the last however many years, it's been easier for me to go out there and just do whether, you know, back in the day, I'd even headline. They gave me a weekend at the Comedy Works or whatever, and that was great. But now that my brother lives there, I can even just go crash with him and do all the breweries. You can go to Denver and stay there for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm here in Loveland, and they do brewery shows all the time.
I just did a show in Loveland. I did a brewery show in Loveland.
You did Loveland Ale Works, yes.
I believe,
or not
I believe
Loveland, Loveland Ale Works or Verboten?
Verboten. I've done Verboten
okay.
twice.
Super I saw nice you at Verboten. Okay, so now it's all coming together. Yeah. I know those guys, Dan and Jeff Albright. So they're good
great.
Friends. Okay. All right.
Last
so
time
it's all...
I was there, I think it might have been late last year. I had to I literally did the show and ran straight to the Comedy Fort. What a great club. I honestly that was my that's the first place I thought I want to do the special here. And it was just tough locking down a weekend at the time I wanted to do it. And I saw Brad Wenzel and Louis Katz did specials there. And they were right to do so. That's a great club. But I just ended up in DC a few weeks later, and I fell in love with that club too. And they were able to get me a date, so we did it there. But yeah, man, me and my wife talk about if there is Denver is like the number one place we would move if there ends up not being a reason for us to be in LA anymore. Comedy Fort is great. You guys got a couple of great runs in Boulder now. Obviously, Comedy Works downtown is, I mean, got top five in the country for sure. The brewery shows, I do Kronberg's Room, the one in the back of the sushi restaurant, the Comedy Lounge. I haven't even done the underground one yet, and that's supposed to be great. Yeah, I got Denver's awesome.
Yeah, I love it. I was surprised coming from the Bay Area. The comedy scene there is so different. But then coming here, it's much more localized, I feel like, and a lot of opportunities for comedians to perform and do different things and really just get a chance to like work on material. I mean, there's a pizza place here in Loveland where they do an open mic night, like the second Tuesday of every month, where people just come in and either they're local or they're from the, you know, the Colorado corridor of comedy and they're doing stuff. And it's just always a good laugh. So I'm looking at your biography of work here. You've obviously done the late night spots. I want to go back to that first opportunity that you had to do late night. The space that you were in, what was your expectation after you did that? Whichever one you did first, was the expectation of things are just going to blow up now? Or this is just an opportunity for me to get in front of a national television audience? Trying to get in your head a little bit and just figure out like what that moment was like for you, because it's different for every comic.
Sure. So my first TV spot versus my first like late night spot were like very different results. Like the first time I did a TV spot was one of those like, you know, 5 minutes on Comedy Central. It was the John Oliver's New York stand-up show. And that was like, I was like 6 or 7 years in and it went great. I was so nervous, but it went really well. And it was like, at the time, not like 6 years is like, oh, if I don't get on TV by 6 years, like, but for me, I was it was like, okay, that's off your shoulders. You did a TV spot. You can say you were on Comedy Central. And just like mentally, you're like, okay, if nothing else ever happens, you did that. So that's cool. And it didn't change much as far as whatever career stuff. Like I could go on the road and book a bar show easier and stuff like that. But it wasn't a huge thing. But then the first like late night spot I got was Letterman, which is nothing I thought I'd ever even have a chance for. Like I always thought I love Letterman, but I was like, I'm not a comedian in a suit. I'm not clean, whatever. But the booker saw me and didn't even say this is the set. He just said, I like you and your comedy. I think we can work on a set together. And we did for like a year and I couldn't believe I got it. And, after it happened, I basically had an agent who was like interested, and then I booked Letterman on my own, and I told him I booked it, and so we kind of signed. And just on the Letterman booking, he was able to book me like 5 or 6 headlining weekends around the country. Wow. Like immediately. And so that one went, and I did well enough on Letterman, and it went, so that one actually did, like, I did a spot, and then there you go, you're off and running headlining on the road for, you know, a few weekends, which led to more weekends, which led to more credits, which led to whatever. So that was, I would say, and I know, you know, you always hear, oh, Johnny Carson, you do it, and then you're huge. And then at the tail end, it wasn't so much like that. And same with Letterman. And I was like second to last year on Letterman. But it did, I guess, technically turn me into a headliner, which was pretty sweet and funny, because it was based on 5 minutes of clean material. That is so not what my normal set. but yeah, I mean, it was great. All of a sudden, I'm like, I was on fucking Letterman. Like, holy shit. That's like it's funny how much that doesn't seem to mean anything to the younger comedians now. But for obviously a generation of comedians, that was a big deal. And for me personally, I got my cue cards hanging up in my office over here. Like, it's pretty much the probably crowning achievement I'll ever hit. Anything after that is bonus. Putting out more specials and albums and getting to tour and stuff is great, but like that's the point of pride, I guess.
Oh, well, that's a huge accomplishment. I mean, I think something that all comedians, I would imagine, are striving for, you know, to be on Fallon, or, I mean, you've done all of these things, and you've done a little bit of television too. So is that something that you still pursue, like Silicon Valley or I'm Dying Up Here, you know, those types of things?
Those were all those things were the most fun thing. I've never been like a trained actor or anything like that. Like I went through UCB improv classes when I first moved to New York as like just a thing to be more well-rounded. And so whenever that's helped me, if any of those things come my way, to feel, you know, a little more confident going into them. But those were just auditions that reps sent me out on. And I tried my best, and I got a couple of them, and they were really fun. But the truth is, right now, I don't have reps. A lot of stuff over the pandemic also. I'm not trying to talk about COVID and stuff either, but pandemic stuff changed the trajectory of a lot of us, I think. And
yeah, for sure.
All my reps, well, some of my reps weren't doing stuff, so I decided to part ways with them. And other ones over the pandemic just had to thin out their rosters. And I wasn't a huge moneymaker, I guess, for some of them. And so I don't have people sending me out on those auditions anymore. Every now and again, a friend of a friend or whatever. I opened for Jeff Garlin last year, and he was nice enough to he got me an audition for Curb, which was incredible. I didn't get it. It wasn't a part that was that great for me, but I would, you know, anything that comes along like that, those jobs are so fun. I would love to do them, but without the reps and stuff, I don't get to go out for that stuff too much anymore.
Yeah, no, I would imagine that part would be challenging, but I mean, you have what I would consider to be an equally successful career as a comedian. You've got an album coming out in just a few days. You're going to be touring, and the special will also be on YouTube. So that's a big deal for sure.
If only there's a way to monetize.
I know that's the question.
It's like there's that. And then also I'm like, any comedians need help editing their reels? I mean, it's really funny because I don't know. Maybe I should be going on things acting like it's a more lucrative career than it is. But it is really funny how like the first special paid this much, and then the second special a few years later, the industry's changing a little bit, was like half of that for twice as long. And you're like, okay. And then a few years after, you're like, I'm just so grateful somebody paid to make it.
But yeah, it's like, that's the other part of it too.
Yeah. So it's crazy, but you know, I do realize that putting a special out and putting it on YouTube is a basically more promotion for people to get you out to come see you on the road. So I'm going to keep hitting the road and keep writing more stuff. And, you know, hopefully be able to keep staying alive to do it.
And the podcast, as we wrap here, you have your podcast too.
I got a new podcast called Pussy Boys, all Z's. That's the, it's not as gross as it sounds. It's just a bunch of me and my middle-aged friends who love their cats.
And that can be streamed anywhere, yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can get that anywhere you listen to your podcasts.
Yeah, and I think it's cool, too. You've got these companies like Blonde Medicine and 800 Pound Gorilla who have come along to help more comedians release good comedy, right? As opposed to, because I think that's the struggle that every comedian faces, I'm guessing, just purely based on conversation. So everybody wants to put the special out, right? Everybody wants the hour. Yeah. That's like the obtainable thing. How long into the game for you before you were ready to put out your first hour? Or let me ask it this way. What do you feel, or is there an appropriate amount of time, Adam, before you know, someone releases?
So I guess I'm maybe a funny person to ask that, because I put my first album out about 4 years in.
Well, that's a long time, though.
Sure, four years is not nothing. 4 years is a long time for a lot of things. I listen back to that first album and I go, yeah, I wasn't ready to put that out yet. I remember what I was thinking, and also it probably had a lot to do with starting. I started in New York. I moved to New York, and I was like, I want to be a comedian, so I'm going to go up there. And so you're around, you know, comedy is a lot different than, you know, if you're in a band. You're not performing with Aerosmith 6 weeks into performing comedy, whereas you can get a little guest spot at Gotham Comedy Club a few months into doing comedy, and all of a sudden you're on a show with Jerry Seinfeld or whatever. So it's really weird seeing, I was in New York and I'm seeing every comedian around me doing TV spots of all different levels of experience. And so after 4 years, I was like, okay, I haven't done anything yet. So I'm going to put out an album. I actually, it was funny. It was Rooftop Comedy at the time before Dominic worked there from Blonde Medicine. And, you know, they used to put like their top 8 clips of the week or whatever up. And so I reached out to them, and because they had featured me a couple times, and I was telling them I was interested in doing an album. And so they helped me put out an album. It was 4 years in. Again, everything went as well as it could have at the time. And I think that album helped me a lot, because it said, look, here's me doing, I have an hour. I can do an hour where people are laughing and I'm legit and I have a credit, kind of, I guess. But I listened back to it and I cringe. But a lot of people liked it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I
gave a long ass answer to that question. Fuck, that was too long of an answer.
That's okay. All right. Well, congratulations on all of this. This is fantastic. And hopefully you come out this way soon.
Are you wrapping up? This is the quickest podcast I've ever been on in my life.
I know. I try and keep it short. You know what I mean? People have more time to listen than to watch. And we will do video of this as well, obviously. But yeah, I have a kid I got to pick up from his mom. So that's really.
I will be back in Denver. So I haven't locked it down, but I got a new nephew. I gotta go meet in the next few months. So I'll probably be up there in the summer. I'm gonna go ahead and get in touch with none of these are locked down yet, but I'm gonna get in touch with the folks in Denver, Boulder, Fort Collins, Steamboat. We're gonna do a run. We'll make it Colorado Springs. I'm gonna make it all happen this summer. So
yeah, absolutely. And of course, the album "Jew Versus the Volcano," which is available and to get on Blonde Medicine here in a couple days. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And of course, Blonde Medicine is a label and company based out of the Bay. Shout out to the Bay Area. All your socials, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Where can people connect with you?
Mostly right now I'm doing the Instagram stuff. It's Adam D. Newman, and TikTok's also Adam D. Newman. And what's the other one? And YouTube, I think it's just Adam Newman Comedy. I've tried to post more on YouTube now as well.
Awesome. Well, congratulations, man. And I can't wait to meet you one of these days. This album now is funny. I think people are going to watch it and love it. And it's good stuff, dude. You're the best. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate you having me, man. Thanks a lot. I hope I get to, yeah, say hey. We'll meet in Colorado in the next few months. I'm excited about it.
Thanks for listening and being a part of today's conversation.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. It's absolutely free.
A major proportion.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
And remember, we care.